Lightning Dogs, the official podcast presented by the Nerdist Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdist Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdistshow.com. Lightning Dogs is conceived as an all-ages property, but these behind-the-scenes conversations are not all-ages. So listen at your own discretion, baby. Woo!
Sometimes, a great idea is truly like a bolt of lightning. And sometimes, if you're lucky enough, you can capture the exact moment that it strikes. That's what happened for us one fateful night while recording an episode of Nerdy Show. We accidentally launched a concept that derailed the entire show, and in no time, our lives. We couldn't stop talking about our favorite action figures and B-movies while twisting them into strange creatures, weird adventures, and my personal favorite, dog puns. Lots of dog puns. This is the story of Lightning Dogs, a journey steeped in the glory of 80s and 90s animation and sci-fi where anthropomorphic dogs tear through the wasteland of a ruined Earth, battling mutants, miscreants, and the evil Glampire. Coming soon to small screens, comic books, and podcasts. Or at least, that's the goal. But how do you go from a crazy idea into a fully formed world of conflict and characters? How does a harebrained discussion become an animated series? That's what we're finding out firsthand. We've recorded the entire development of Lightning Dog since day one, from the moment of conception to every world-building session and planning meeting, and the journey is still ongoing. Tune in as we create the world of the Lightning Dogs, live!
Welcome to Lightning Dogs.
Whoa.
Tony's asleep.
You're asleep at the wheel?
I thought you guys were driving.
Wake the fuck up. Where's your howl noise?
He was doing the confused dog. The old confused dog. Hard of hearing.
Peanut butter.
Oh, whoa. We're
don't say anything else. Yeah, just leave it there. I don't want to know anything beyond that.
Okay, yeah. We'll leave that alone. But there is so much Lightning Dog stuff ready to be dug up out of the proverbial backyard. In this episode, Doug, Cap, and I make some important decisions about our hero's main rides. In recent episodes, you've heard us commit to the Lightning Dogs having three distinct vehicles when they travel from their homeworld of Domus to Earth. The large, armored utility vehicle, the Brutus, the small scout, the Fido, and our all-terrain signature vehicle, the Rover, aka the Lightning Rod. We've been working with our vehicle designer Max Acree to hone the look of the Lightning Rod, and as of this episode, we were close to completion. But one key detail remained. What was it like on the inside? It sounds simple, but it becomes a real point of contention as we discuss how characters would interact in our hypothetical animated show. The best way to load in action figures and other design choices that would drastically affect our final vehicle. Then we take the conversation to the Brutus and Fido, laying groundwork for what they do and don't do that influences our whole design process going forward. But to better fill you in on where we were in the process when this episode was recorded, I'll let Cap explain.
Now, what's been going on behind the scenes is we've been kicking around a lot of stuff in the emails with Max Acree.
So many emails.
And we have a lightning rod pretty much pinned down. The next step is Max is going to create a full turnaround and interior layout. We basically even Max the thumbs up already, but we should add in a little discussion here because there's a sort of a debate going around between Doug and I, and Tony, I don't know where you stand on this, of
my opinion will be revealed today.
Of the seating in the
in
lightning rod.
Tony's court. Dun-dun.
Side-by-side seating or inline seating like in a jet fighter? And I'm in the camp of inline seating being the way to go.
And obviously I'm in the camp of side-by-side for the main lightning rod.
Does this make me the deciding vote?
Not necessarily. Just...
what the fuck?
Your opinion will be listened to and then not heeded.
Well,
The thing is, we haven't actually had a sit-down discussion. It has all been in emails.
It's really just us stating our opinion and not, we haven't gone into details as to why or whatever. From that, where do you sit,
I have
Tony?
Always pictured it side-by-side, not in line.
Thank
I have
you.
Also always pictured it as a boxy-ass looking fucking 1930s, 40s, like Packard type deal, which we have moved away from substantially. And I'll dig the direction that we're going in, but side by side is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
Side by side is where it's at to me.
Well, because to me, first and foremost, it's a car.
It is. No, it's not a car. It's a hot rod.
Yeah.
Hence the lightning rod. Because cars exist with inline seating, especially those that, and to Max's credit, what he's gone on a lot of in the email is that if we're going for something that is speed, that is the fastest thing on four wheels, inline makes more sense because you're cutting down on the wind resistance. Mm-hmm. But fuck physics. It's side by side, the main.
Right. But also, to me, the Lightning Rod was the middle car. It wasn't, it's like the best because it's the middle car. It's the hero car. But if Brutus, Rover, and Fido were like the names we were kicking around, this was the Rover.
Yeah.
So, you know, going up and over the things or whatever, being like the roving thing. And Fido was the one that we were kind of kicking around as the smaller one. And I always imagine the smaller one. That, I think, can definitely be an inline.
Yeah, that'd
thing.
Be either like a single seater or inline. But the Lightning Rod has always, to me, been side by side.
Yeah,
I pictured Fido as practically like a motorcycle or something, which
or
does
a monocycle. Shout out to Venus Wars. Nobody else cares.
I don't know what that is, and sounds like a tangent that we should probably avoid. But I am curious. Tell me later.
Okay.
So we haven't pinned down Fido. It's one of our least pinned down things we've got.
Yeah.
But we've always said like it would be like a scout vehicle, and so I just thought made me think like basically a glorified motorcycle, like the things from Megaforce, like motorcycles with rockets on them.
Why not a superbike in line, two people?
Could do, but even then, like still, if it's a scout thing, one seater with like some where someone could like strap themselves on or cling to the back if need be. Seem more appropriate than something that would be a two-person vehicle. Like a real, like if we're doing a scout, it needs to be small, which means a one-person vehicle at its heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a ride at Epcot, and I don't remember the name of it. I remember going when I was really young, and it was sponsored by General Motors, and General Motors does Test Track now. But what used to be Test Track was something else, and it was about the history of transportation, and it was, I remember enjoying it very much, but the one thing that I really remember from it was after the ride was over, there was basically just a GM showroom or whatever, and they always had a display of this motorcycle that was a very futuristic design where you're inside like a canopy, kind of like the,
so like a light cycle.
You're in a jet cockpit kind of thing, almost like the Batpod, except you're sitting on your butt and your feet are almost like you're sitting in a go kart and you're low to the ground, and it is like a clear canopy around you. Oh, the ride was called World of Motion, and I believe it's called the Lean Machine. Now, granted, this does not look nearly as cool as I was describing it, but as a kid, you got to remember there was nothing else like this.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm seeing it's like a bobsled for the road, like what you usually see.
If we can just take that and make it cool and more motorcycle, and instead of
Ben trike.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Yeah, but like taking it and
it doesn't look
it's got two wheels in the back and one wheel at the front.
And you do lean, like you got throttles on under each hand, kind of like a pod racer.
This looks like an escape pod. It's a cool looking escape pod, but it looks like an escape pod.
Right,
I'm not saying beef it up and badass.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Let's take this general idea of now take that, but make it inline seating, make it tiny, make it more motorcycle ish, and also, have it go fast.
We're getting away from the topic at hand, which is Lightning Rod. Side by side or in line.
Right. Now, my argument for in line is mostly it comes from an action figure standpoint.
Right.
Like, if you look at, say, a Model T, you can fit two people up in the front. You can fit two people in the back.
Mm-hmm.
The back people's kind of elevated. So that's what I would want, but as a two-seater, where the person in the front's concentrated on driving, really likes, like, eyes on the horizon driving, and the person in the back is doing any kind of, like, extra nav stuff, but mostly weapons, where they have a better vantage point for doing weapon stuff. You pull the cockpit back, and like if something's, you know, if they're parked and in distress, come out the back with like a rocket launcher or something. It's not two people side by side mitigating all that. It's kind of like it's like an operations thing, and I think that's got a lot of great dynamism to it and animation, and then also in an action figure.
I'm gonna go ahead and also bring up another famous side by side vehicle, the Batmobile, that has side by side, and then when it goes into, say, battle mode, those seats rearrange.
Well, that's not an option for us.
Why not?
Well, for a toy, that just really couldn't do it. Like, that's...
So you do
also,
different versions.
Honestly, I never felt that was a convincing contrivance for the Batmobile. I always thought it was kind of weird.
You mean the tumbler?
No, I'm not even talking about the Tumblr. I've seen this in other media as well.
The 60s Batman?
I don't even... I think it was the animated series. I have seen this happen somewhere within the canon of Batman. And
it did happen in the Tumblr.
It did. It did indeed happen in the Tumblr.
But whatever. Regardless, the point still stands. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My point stands. Yeah. We can have it do both. Mm-hmm. And we can then sell two action figures of the driving mode and the battle mode. Or we could figure out a way for it to transform by having a little like disc in there where the seats just... rotate and one of them pops up in the back.
Now, I understand the drive to make it more car-like in that regard, but I feel it looks very car-like.
Well, the other thing, the reason why, let me think about what I felt were the negatives of inline for this particular vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
If this is like your main vehicle and we did want it to be very car-like and, you know, whatever, I always imagine it being a kind of wide, slightly lower to the ground than the rest until you modify it to go up like dune buggy tires or whatever. Like that's like, you know, when they're going over rocky terrain. But when you're going into, you know, beast mode, speed mode, that thing would just sink low to the ground and like
Mach flat. 5.
Yeah, just like it'd be more of a horizontal rectangle.
Dude, and it's like, it already kind of resembles the Mach 5.
Yeah, in a way. But
we've
but
got the same, there's a lot of the same lines, same angle.
But when I was picturing inline seating, suddenly it's a little taller than
taller
before.
And narrow.
Yeah, and something about that didn't feel like a car. It then started to feel more like a rocket ship, or in my opinion, more like a motorcycle, like a weird two-seater motorcycle thing, which isn't a bad thing, but I just figured that was just a different vehicle, because we have truck-ish vehicle, car-ish vehicle, and motorcycle-ish vehicle.
If we're looking at action figures that are the size of, say, a Ninja Turtle Playmates 89 action figure, and not the super narrow G.I. Joe Star Wars style action figures, then we're looking at needing to have a lot of real estate for those people to sit.
Right.
Having two people sit side by side in a toy like that at that scale makes the lightning rod a very large piece of hardware.
Also, the toys didn't always mirror.
They didn't, which pissed me off as a kid. So I'm trying to like mitigate that.
Right.
But it also didn't piss every kid off.
I mean, I had the Batman animated series Batmobile, the one that converted into a mini Batwing, and that was a one-seater Batmobile, but that's not how it was in the cartoon. To be honest, I'm not thinking about how it's going to be a toy. I'm thinking purely about how it's going to work in a comic or in a cartoon, on a poster, in an action shot,
How do you imagine them mitigating that with someone doing like weapons like right next to somebody in like a shared?
Well, again, the point being that when this vehicle first came through, it wasn't a weapon vehicle, not at first. I mean, it's like
I'm not concerned with what was coming through at first. I'm concerned with the actual end product of like what represents the lightning dogs. I want to retroactively engineer back to whatever the clean version of it was, because what I'm concerned with is what would be made as the action figure vehicle. That's what makes it into the commercials. That's what makes it into the series, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it can look like fucking anything, what we need it to look like when it comes through for the first time. But when it comes to what's going to appear as the iconic Lightning Dogs vehicle, that's my concern.
I guess my take on it of them being just controlling it from the inside, like it's like, oh shit, we're under attack. Whoever's in the passenger seat, another joystick pops up and they start firing and swiveling. You know what? Fuck it. I just thought of this. What if that second seat is on a swivel? Like it just like an old arcade cabinet, like Afterburner. Like that thing just turns around and you can just start shooting from wherever. The actual gun is mounted on the back, but you can spin and see like whatever you want to do. That's the seat that can rotate and move.
Or, hell, there's even a camera, say, mounted on it. We've got an 80s kind of video CRT screen in the dashboard.
Right. Now, I'll admit that isn't quite as fun to play with as part of a vehicle set as having someone just strapped to the back on a machine gun or, you know, or something like that. But
which is why on the toy we just have the person sit on the fucking machine gun.
Right.
Well, I mean, what I envision for the inline is very much that, like, say, Dingo as a driver, it's his space. He's got a full spread of readouts and everything. He's got everything he needs up there. He's concentrated just on driving, and all the other stuff is mitigated behind him. No distractions. That's the responsibility of whomever he's riding with. You can take the controls on that stuff and give him the information he needs, and everybody's got enough of a terminal space to actually have that 360 degrees. If you're riding around in your two-door, four-door, whatever, you know, in the real world, in a car, you don't have a lot of space as a passenger or a driver.
Mm-hmm.
So this would give everybody the opportunity to like to have the space for a battle-ready vehicle and to do what they need to do without being confined. Like, a swivel seat over in a passenger side, like unless we're really making this a big vehicle, I just don't see it working.
Right. That's a good point.
But again, we don't have to have a swivel. And there's plenty of space, because I can't tell you the number of times that even in, because I own a compact car,
mm-hmm.
while I don't feel as though I can just spread my wings and fly, as though I were in some sort of a Humvee or something that's 4 feet across, I have enough room that it's my own little world, and I am completely consumed by what I see in front of me, whatever dashboard accoutrement I need to look at, or what's in front of me on the road. My passenger, on the meantime, has enough room for them to get lost in whatever they are doing. I know this because I have to remind them that they're also there to keep me awake after they've taken a nap. So we can have this passenger where the passenger's side is nothing but like a keyboard or some sort of a console with a screen on it that passenger can then get completely involved in. It'll take up approximately the same room that a glove box would.
Yeah, because you don't have like doors on the side. This is like a canopy closing sort of scenario. So you could just have driver on one side and passenger on the other side, and the passenger's controls can go from the center console spread all the way around them. You know, like around one quarter, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like from
but
from
it doesn't
12
even need to do that. But you could have, say, where the armrest would be. That's where the joystick for the weapons are.
Yeah, yeah. But I still see what Cap's saying, where it's just like, how do you make this into a toy? And how does this going to look? It has to be kind of big.
I'm thinking about visuals for the actual show and the dynamism of, say, like vehicle scenes in anime and so on. And for me, what looks the coolest is not a low shot on the driver's side where you can see them relatively side by side, and then like, say, slight overhead cuts where you can watch them working the dials or whatever, but a shot dead on front and center where you're looking at Dingo first, and then just behind him is someone else. They both got like faces lit by the glow of their screens. You can cut to their own terminals respectively, and they've got a lot of space for like dynamic shots and like communication. It feels to me, as far as like thinking about writing scenes like this and storyboarding scenes like this, it feels more dynamic for each of them to have their own compartments than to be side by side. Like, not they'd be reaching over each other, because they absolutely wouldn't, but that they're not bumping elbows or anything. Like, they're in their own terminals, but they're together but apart.
So you're thinking of it like more like an SR-17 Blackbird.
Yeah.
But I think that car is just as big, but in a different direction.
And I'm going to say, as a counter to that, Mad Max Fury Road, where we have two characters who dominate the screen in the form of both Max and Furiosa, who were sitting side by side for the predominant portion of that film.
Sure.
Right, but
they weren't doing anything.
Yeah, they were just sort of driving. Like, the vehicle itself wasn't a weapon as much.
But think of those action scenes where somebody is driving, and having to then navigate whatever combat scenario, and then the person riding shotgun is the one involved in combat, which is what we want anyway. It's the same
right,
sort of focus.
Right, but that works with a battle rig. It's like what Halloween Jack would have. That's where you can have a car with someone swinging out the window, which we presently haven't designed for the Lightning Dogs. They currently don't have a rig like that. Maybe that's what we should make Fido like. Maybe we should not worry about what's going to come from Domus, but what's going to work in the wasteland more. Because right now, honestly, Lightning Rod is so souped up. If Halloween Jack rode alongside it, I'd think that either that window is going to break immediately, or it's impervious to him hitting it because dog's face.
It's from Domus, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how believable that is. We've made it look pretty battle-ready, but
if it can be made of Duraglass,
or transparent aluminum,
or whatever, and then we just, I think it'd be great if we could establish that, oh yeah, that's made of Duraglass, whatever, or it's made of whatever magic thing that we're going to make up.
And we don't want to overpower the dogs.
No, of course not. But then, end of season one, or even episode 3, whenever it is, Diamond Dog show up, the big Diamond Dog gets on it, punch, and then a crack forms. And you're like, oh shit. like to really show off like how hard this thing is hitting. Like, if we have Halloween Jack throwing little pumpkin bombs or hitting it with a sledgehammer and nothing scratches it, nothing happens, you're like, oh, that's a tough blast.
Yeah.
Then a Diamond Dog shows up and he puts a crack in that thing and he just keeps punching and punching and punching. There's drama and there's something cool that can happen with that.
And I still, to me, the Lightning Rod is a broad vehicle. And inline seating, it says a more narrow feel to it. It has a more narrow, constricted, confined feel.
I would argue that you're only envisioning it that way. In my mind, it is as wide as a standard car. There's just more room for the individuals to operate.
The other reason why I like it side by side is so that it'd be easy to communicate. Like, it's easy just to speak when you're side by side. But if someone's sitting behind Dingo, Dingo can't be like, are we gotta be quiet? There's something coming. It's just like, what? What'd you say? It's like, shut the fuck up. You know, it's a little trickier to have conversation.
In that regard, I would assume that they would have to be using earpieces.
Right.
Which is, as we've noted from the racing videos, the Type Bs, where the dudes are have to read off directions on how many degrees to make a turn because they're moving so fast. That's a side-by-side driver-navigator situation, but they are using headsets because it's so loud. They right. have to.
Also, just the idea that if something happens to the driver, the other can grab the wheel.
Right.
Just to get to,
which
get
could
to
which could be the case in this car,
right.
for all we know.
Oh, absolutely. Give Dingo the opportunity if he sees something that he needs to do when he decides he's going to be reckless, as is his wont, says, take the wheel, I'm getting out. What?
Yeah.
Leap! And yeah. then...
Have to hop over.
Have know, to hop over or what have you. It has always felt right to me, and maybe that is. Maybe it is just how I'm picturing it, how I'm locked into it, but it has always felt right to me as a side-by-side car.
But I also, I think a part of it is me wanting to be able to get... Anyone can get into their car and start pretending they're in the lightning rod. You know, like just be like, if you're in the, if you can get in your car with your mom or dad or with your significant other, if you're over the age of whatever, you can get in the car and feel like, yeah, this is like my lightning rod. Like this yeah. is like just when you're playing or when you're thinking about it in your mind's eye, something that's a little bit more familiar. Whereas not everyone's familiar with an SR-17. Not many people have actually sat in a cockpit like that. And although it is badass, and I do think it's a great concept, I feel like something more familiar might be something that we need to link it.
And we also, I mean, with a lot of the imagery we've evoked so far, calling it the lightning rod, in addition to being, you know, lightning and metal and whatnot, it evokes the image of a hot rod. And when people picture mm-hmm. a hot rod, I mean, at least for my money, I picture somebody sitting side by side.
I just think the inline thing could work. Like, here, this was eventually going to be my pitch about the third vehicle, like the motorcycle. If that thing is inline, I would, and if that one's like low to the ground, super small, I would imagine not only inline, but Max did the back-to-back seating.
Right, which I don't think works as well. I don't think it worked well in a snow speeder. It's greatly impersonal. Like, the shots can only be front side, front, just like 1-2, 1-2. There's no dynamism of having those
but
two people
But for a toy,
at
that's
once.
Perfect. That's the thing. Like, everything has a trade-off.
And we can absolutely do additional shots from the side because for us as creators, we can remove physical walls and have it be there if we really needed to have it. And there's something that a back-to-back seating can offer, and that's an interesting analysis of trust because you are relying entirely on somebody that, for all you know, is sitting there checking their Facebook page.
The bark book.
Bark book.
Well...
No, butt book.
Yeah, butt book.
I just got to sniff up on folks, see what's going on.
You sniff them instead of poke them?
Yeah, honestly, well, it's a sniff stat.
It really, truly doesn't do it for me. On actually a kind of profound level, the back-to-back seating, I don't think there's really any place for it. And I agree that it is convenient for action figure and fitting into the moldings and so on, but unless it's like a turret, if it's a back-to-back like turret, like
well,
360
that's what I would
thing.
Kind of imagine, yeah.
Sure, but
yeah.
like as far as like, I honestly don't know why they fucking did it in the snow speeder. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Now, there's an opportunity for, like, inline seating, but the back one's got a swivel chair. Because, like, I mean, you're targeting, you're fucking, I don't know. We won't argue the fucking snow speeder logistics. But as far as lightning rod goes, I mean, I'm clearly outnumbered here.
I just think that any problem with having it side by side, the problem still stands from inline, except it's just taller.
Do we have the car we want? Does it do what we need the lightning rod to do? Or do we have something that is irrefutably cool, we like it a lot, but is it the car we want? Is it the car we need? Is it the lightning rod right now as it is?
Yes.
I'd say 98% yes.
What's the other two?
The final touches, like I want to go over the top air vent. I think it's a little too tall. Squeeze that down a little bit.
My opinion on it, first and foremost, we've got a design that all of us like. We've got some cockpit designs that are fucking badass. Mm-hmm. The car itself feels like the lightning rod. It feels right. This is something that we could all picture. The only thing that's going to prove whether or not this is the car is putting it into practice, is right. putting it in a shot somewhere, but practical settings of having Dingo and Angela having a cheese it after Halloween Jack and his peopleoids have discovered them somewhere and they got to get the fuck out of Dodge. Mm. Because we can... concept this thing till it is done, till we have the perfect toy that nobody buys until they see how cool it is in action.
Because that's the other thing. I don't want it to be overpowered either. Like, I feel like this is the middle
vehicle.
That's
my biggest concern.
Yeah, this is the middle vehicle of three vehicles.
So I don't think some of the features.
Right. I'm not thinking we have to strip back much. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it should be the fastest. I think that should be Fido, the small one. That should be the fastest. I don't think it should be the most powerful with the weapons, because that should be Brutus. It's the tank.
Yep.
So this is the one that when you need to get the job done, you're not really sure what you're going to need. You take this one. because it's kind of the all-around kind of thing. It's jack of all trades. But if you want the master of speed, you go with this. You want the master of strength, you go with that.
Yeah.
So this doesn't have to be like this total complete badass thing. This is like the one where it's just like, oh, if I had to pick one, I'd pick that one sort of thing. You know, but everyone's got their favorite for different reasons.
It's the assault rifle. It works in every situation.
It's the AK-47.
When you absolutely have to kill every motherfucker in the room.
Yeah.
You take the lightning rod. It's like an indigo calculator.
And the other thing we've been working on is the Brutus.
The lightning rig.
Which is...
It's a real live wire.
It's taken on a lot of different shapes. Max has come up with some really just awesome designs all around. A lot of the early designs were truck-like with like an open back, like more of a utility vehicle kind of look. And then other ones had like spare tires strapped to it and so on. And I noticed that, Tony, the rigs you were interested in were actually drastically different from the rigs that Doug and I were interested in.
Contrary opinion, Tony. Happy to help out.
Well, elaborate, please.
Well, to me, when I picture Brutus, when I picture kind of raw strength, I picture something that is a little bit on the boxier side. Something that doesn't maneuver. Something that doesn't corner or even handle that well. Because it doesn't need to. Whatever's in its way doesn't matter. It is irrelevant because it can handle it. And to me, what says that sort of strength is a boxier design. One of the ones that I was kind of fond of actually had kind of a Mad Max feel in the front because it had a little bit of the DeVille that Immortan Joe was driving.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one was, it was essentially just a Wasteland Optimus Prime.
Right.
And there is part of me that will never not love that design because that, to me, says strength. And
what I was surprised about you picking up on that one was that that's the one that Max drew that was almost specifically a big rig truck.
Yep.
Which was not what I was going for with Brutus, because we've been talking about it being a very powerful vehicle, but a utility vehicle in some respects, so that if the Lightning Dogs had to live on the road, they could live in this, or it could at least supply them enough that they would have a camper of sorts or something that could have supplies and so on. But Optimus Prime is only offensive because the front of him turns into a kick-ass robot. Usually they have the back part that slides away off to who knows where.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a mystery where it goes. I'm sure there's a very good explanation out there somewhere.
I think it was even brought up in Transformers Devastation, the game that came out, where it just will disappear and reappear as though transported by mysterious energon crystals.
Oh, boy.
Because he uses it in attacks.
Huh.
Like, he'll be punching, kicking, transform into a truck, swing the back part of his 18-wheel rig, and then it just disappears again.
Wow.
Well,
in an instant.
The Decepticons had that sort of hologram technology in the movie.
Hard light.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'd be fine with something that looks like the front could detach or whatever, but I'm interested in, like, a big unit vehicle rather than having something that's like, that long and that detached.
I'm interested in a one solid vehicle, not one that really looks like it's towing something. Like, I never pictured the front of like a traditional semi, but like more basically just it's like a big bus. Now, I'm not suggesting a Greyhound bus, you know, that's a little.
No, that's poetic right there.
Yeah, it's like, but I'm.
No,
I'm,
I am 100% behind them using a Greyhound goddamn bus.
I am not literally suggesting a Greyhound bus, but that
I am. I am on record right now suggesting a Greyhound bus.
That general shape of just something really solid. But like, if the Greyhound bus was a tank and it had a large sort of picturesque windows that kind of went over so you could get a real good view of the horizon.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what I was going for.
But not anywhere near that long, right?
It doesn't have to be. I was.
But also, why not?
Because I feel like that's a little too nice for the Lightning Dogs. That's a,
right? No, I mean, the fucked up version of that. I want the
more military, utilitarian kind of take on that.
What gives you that is essentially the flat nose kind of gives that. Because that's got that curved, almost sleek design. A flat nose speaks to something more Spartan.
There was a sketch that Max did that had this kind of slightly diagonal, almost like engine front bit that sort of reminded me of an old-timey, like rural truck kind of look. I don't know enough of the actual terminology to pin it down, but like a 1930s Ford truck sort of look.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with a little bit of like a riding mower tractor kind of thing. And I thought that was a good look for something like this. It looked like it could just haul. It was made to haul. That was, I think, for me, the image that I connected with the most for this. There were plenty of other ones, but that was something that has a tank feel while not being a tank.
And it's funny because, I mean, what you're describing to me says that you're looking for something a little bit more aerodynamic, something that has kind of a slope, a slant in terms of its basic shape.
I wasn't really picturing, but I'm still interested in open, so.
When I think Brutus, I think, again, something that doesn't have any angles. It's why the Optimus design works for me. It's why the idea of this bus kind of works for me. I mean, even something that long, this vehicle, if it's going to serve as a base, if it's going to serve as something where they've got a little bit more room, it doesn't have to be huge, but definitely something longer. Something that could, say, serve to store a vehicle or two, if it needed to. This is where, maybe this is where Fido lives.
That was the other concern about it, too, is like, if it's big, it was kind of like a trailer that they can kind of live out of, but it also kind of serves as a garage. How big would that be? Is that too big?
Well, I mean, if we're even considering giving them something like that, it needs to blow up in the first five episodes. So that's too much.
I mean, I can speak from experience. 40-foot-long RVs can store cars. And especially if Fido is of the profile that we're talking about, 40 feet is big, but it's not unwieldy. It's also not that big necessarily. Six dogs living in a 40-foot RV type deal is going to get cramped quick.
I'm totally okay with the idea of Fido popping out of, strapping onto, whatever. That sounds neat to me. That's an action feature. That makes buying into the Brutus playset or whatever the fuck it is all the more exciting with its fold-out back half that like kind of subverts the fact that the actual space of the scenes you've seen in the television series couldn't possibly match the scale of the action figure that you're buying. But, you know, I don't think it's a brick. I imagine something more exciting than a brick. And to me, you know, like I like the cab of a rig, like in Mad Max, because in Mad Max you could have the dynamism of having that entire crew of characters in the front of that rig. Mm-hmm. Which is cool. So that's something I think is a good representative for Brutus and what's going on there, except that in this case, it's not a big tanker of milk. It's a thing that you can go into.
But then we're getting back to it being a trailer almost.
But it's attached. It's a big unit. Take, for example, an armored car for bank transport. Imagine that blown up. So it's an armored car, two lanes wide. It's got all the crew up in the front of it. It's like a space shuttle. It's a space shuttle that can fit on the road. And you can be in the cab, you walk into the back. The Aquabats battle tram. Now, they cram an awful lot into there that just plain could not fit.
All right, I don't understand. I'm going to take it a little step further. I'm going to say Lone Star's Winnebago.
Done.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am on board.
That's a brick with wings. It's like, that's the thing.
But it has shapes in the front.
The idea of that being like a 4 to 5 person cockpit up in the front. Great. Like, I love that. And the fact that it's like a separation between this is the cockpit area.
Right.
And in the back, that's a whole other world.
Now,
back
that's
there.
What I'm talking about as far as like the interior space. But when it comes to the externals, that's where I think that it could look compelling. It could look like there's so many different kinds of vacuum cleaners that this isn't going to be a clean image. But if you were a very small individual and a vacuum cleaner was the size of two lanes on a road, it would be like this kind of like weird shape coming at you. Imagine that the weird front shapes of a locomotive doesn't have enough shapes on it, but maybe an old, like a something between a modern locomotive and an old locomotive. I don't know, something like that. That's too narrow still, but
the idea of like Lone Star's Winnebago, you can leave the cockpit and just quickly run to the back and get something that you need to do. But if it's like a separate trailer, you can't really do that. The thing that I like is that you could be in the cockpit like, quick, go back in there and get the whatever to unhook this thing. They can run to the back and have, the action scene of like, oh, quick, you got to get into the Fido and you got to jump out the back and then I'll swing around here and we'll meet into this thing. And then you can just have them run through the back. Again, kind of like the trailer from Lost World. I mean, not a double-length trailer that's connected by a weird big spring thing, but something that you can run through and that it's kind of like a lab. But that's the thing. It's like, how big is this? Is it a lab? Is it a garage? Is it a living space? What the fuck is this thing?
Well, it's got to be a little of all those things. And I think first and foremost, to have at least small versions of those facilities, but ultimately enough space to keep 5-6 people sustained in a potentially hostile environment. Also, it would be cool to deploy Fido from the roof. Like you climb up into it or something, and then it like kind of launches out the slope of the back or something like that.
Like some of those life rafts on bigger ships, like tanker ships and cruise ships on rails. They just...
Yeah, yeah.
Like Captain Phillips. You guys see Captain Phillips?
No.
In Captain Phillips, the lifeboat that they're in is this orange, almost submarine-like thing. And when they get in, they seal it. And you're like, where are they going? They're pretty high up. And it's like, yep, they are. And yank, the chain goes down and this thing just slides off of a slide. Swoop, and it's airborne and then poof, hits the water.
That's great.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing side-by-sides for the lightning rod. And I guess we still have to create a formal declaration of intent with as far as our what we want out of the rig to Max, because we've got some conflicting opinions. But right now, if we're all on board for what we've just sort of collaboratively described, then we have at least
a direction.
A direction, yeah.
And it's backwards from the cab.
Aha.
Jury's still out on Fido. I do think it should be a one-person thing. A second person could get on, but not in any kind
of way.
Not
comfortable.
That's yeah.
No, and I'm entirely down with having scenes where somebody is clinging to the outside of it, where somebody is inside saying, just hold on. What do you mean, hold on?
Like a dune buggy, kind of like, I don't know what I'm even thinking of. A
lot of roll bars, very little weight to it, there to get in, get out, get going.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Good discussion.
The final turnaround for the Lightning Rod is available for you to see right now. And we're excited to say that we've recently sent this design off to be 3D printed so that we can have a physical concept to help further influence scale, tweaks to the car's design, and just be cool to hold in our hands. On this episode's page, you'll find links to the concept art we mentioned, including several sheets of Brutus designs and Max's first pass at console designs for the Rover. If you want to be privy to exclusive bonus content, including the occasional Lightning Dogs concept art previews, there's only one answer. Join the pack. Head to patreon.com/lightningdogs and support us at any level to have your name featured as a loyal denizen of Domus and stay posted on all the latest Lightning Dogs happenings. Even a dollar a month shows us that you want to see this show become a reality. If you can spare more, you get more. Early releases, tons of bonus content, monthly hangouts, plenty of titillating tears. Your support has enabled us to continue to afford Max's services, meaning more awesome art for incredible new vehicles, and helps us with the general costs of running a business. But we've got so much farther to go. We need to raise funds so Greg Wiseman can review our pitch Bible, and beyond that, Doug has agreed to quit his job and get paid just what he needs to survive so he can work on Lightning Dogs full time. He's already had his shots, but he needs a good home. We just think of his talents being abused at his dead-end day job like a pup with the windows rolled up in a hot car. So, please, help us adopt Doug. We'll even put a collar on him, and if you come to Orlando, let you take him out for walks. But, if you can't make it to Orlando in the distant or perhaps near future where we funded Doug's Lightning Dogs indentured servitude, you can meet us in person. We will all be at HeroesCon in Charlotte, North Carolina, June the 16th through the 18th. It's one of the best comic conventions in the country and is always packed to the gills with the biggest fish in the comics sea. And some of the most talented minnows swimming upstream into comic stardom, like yours truly. Cap will be hosting a wide array of panels, and we'll be at the booth ready to talk Lightning Dogs all day long. In the meantime, we've got a lot more Lightning Dogs adventures in store, including the moment you've all been waiting for. Our detailed character histories for the remaining three Lightning Dogs, Dingo, Marisa, and Kane. We'll see you next time on Lightning Dogs. Oh!
I'm gonna go back to sleep.
peanut butter.